This is the Gospel, Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. John was in the wilderness, baptizing and preaching the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the whole province of Judea went out to him, and all the people of Jerusalem, and he baptized them in the river Jordan when they confessed their sins. Now John wore a dress of camel's hair and a girdle of leather fastened about his loins, and his food was locusts and wild honey, while he preached, saying, "Behold, there is coming after me one who is mightier than myself, even the strings of whose shoes I am not good enough to bend down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and he was baptized in the Jordan by John. And immediately he went up out of the water, and he saw the sky was cleared open, and the Spirit as a dove came down upon him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, and I am pleased with you." Amen. All right. Last Saturday? Yeah. Was the Epiphany of the Lord. All right. This is the first Sunday after Epiphany. What does Epiphany mean? Have you ever had an Epiphany? Yeah, Epiphany. I just understood something. And so this is the Epiphany of the Lord. When Jesus was baptized and the heavens opened and the Spirit of God descended on Jesus like a dove, and we heard a voice from heaven that said, "This is my Son. I am pleased with him. I am pleased with you." And so it's an epiphany for all those around him to understand, wow, this is the Son of God. And you might wonder, well, how many people might have seen that? How many people may have experienced that? Well, it said that, let me see here, and the whole province of Judea went out to him, and all the people of Jerusalem, and he baptized them in the river Jordan, and they confessed their sins. All right? Well, obviously it isn't all, because we know the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the guys that were just too holy, you know, we don't need this dirty old guy dipping us in the water or whatever. They came out and challenged John for what he was doing. But there was a good amount of people that showed up. Well, why is that? It's because a lot of the people realized that the timing, that the events are perfect for the Messiah to come to us. As a matter of fact, the leading, maybe it was the Pharisees, had a special investigative group. And if any young lady who wasn't married were to become pregnant, she could claim that this was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy and that she was carrying the Messiah. Well, obviously, if they had to put a council together to investigate these things, there must have been a little bit of this going on. All right? And as a matter of fact, I have the little book that is a compilation of all these records. We have the record of the team that was sent to talk to Mary and Joseph. And the results of their investigation were that we don't see anything that says she isn't the mother of Messiah. We don't see anything that says this isn't the Messiah. All right? And so they couldn't find any evidence of, shall we say, hanky-panky going on. Because if you were pregnant and out of wedlock, then there is only one penalty. It's death by stoning. Okay? And so it's not, you know, you'd better have an excuse. That was probably why we had that excuse. It was the only excuse. I'm pregnant. Oh, it's a miracle. No. And so we do have this investigation of the Sanhedrin. That's what it was. The Council of the Sanhedrin sent a team out, and they did investigate, and they did say, okay, then this is right. So basically, the whole atmosphere during this time was charged with this excitement that, you know, this could be the time when Messiah comes. And there were several people that had risen up and saying, I'm the Messiah, follow me. And they would hold a big rebellion, and Rome would come in and kill them all. And obviously this wasn't the Messiah, but it had happened. And so this was, I mean, the time was right. People could feel that the time was right. And it was. Because Jesus did show up. It's just that he wasn't exactly what they were expecting. Because the thing that was just overbearing, that was just, it was the, what do you call it, the elephant that the elephant in the room that everybody's ignoring, alright, that we have, or the gorilla in the room, whatever it is, something big and nasty, it was that, you know, here is Rome, and everybody hated that Rome had put them under submission. And you know, there is called, you know, the Pax of Rome. Pax is Latin for peace. And you would say, oh, peace, all right. Well, I want to be part of this empire because it's an empire of peace. Alright? It's peace, like Islam is peace. It's peace by the sword. And so if Rome were to come in and subjugate an area, they would basically let them do whatever they wanted to do. You want to have your own religion? You can have your own religion. You want to go ahead and have your economy and all that going? We're just going to let you do whatever you want to do, but you have to pay taxes. And so they had this big building program all the time. They're expanding the empire. They needed money to expand the empire. And so it wasn't that Jerusalem, that Israel was just totally beaten down and enslaved and whatever. I mean, Rome let them do just about anything that they wanted to do. But I'll tell you something that I found about the Jewish people is they don't like anybody telling them what they can or cannot do. Okay? And that's true. And when we started in Gulf War I, that the biggest problem that America had in dealing with Gulf War I is that the enemy was purposely sending rockets into Jerusalem, and even though Jerusalem had nothing to do with what was going on, they were trying to excite Israel into a military response. And so they just kept sending these Scud missiles. And you remember that term Scud? S-C-U-D, Scud missiles, and long-range missiles, sending them into Israel and into Jerusalem. Our artillery shot most of them down. But that was our big problem because we kept telling them, don't get involved. It'll turn into World War III if you get involved. Just stay out of it. We'll handle it or whatever. And that was, I mean, that was the biggest nightmare that America was facing at the time, that Israel would just decide, you know, we've had enough of this. And so now in the past couple of weeks where Hamas and some of these other terrorist groups have decided to attack Israel, the United States says, don't get involved. And Israel said, that's all right. We'll take care of it this time. And they've gotten involved, and I mean the world stands at the brink of World War III, and of course our news and everybody, they downplay it, but it's a very precarious situation over there in the Middle East right now. All right, so Israel doesn't like to be pushed around. They don't like being told what they have to do, and they didn't like the Romans living there and telling them what to do. And so anybody that came along and said, hey, I am the Messiah, follow me, and we're going to defeat Rome, immediately the villages would empty of young men, and they would line up to go to battle, to follow the Messiah into victory over Rome, and it didn't happen. All right? Because this was something that they were not looking for. But they were ready. There was that energy that God was doing something. And you ever notice that wherever Jesus went, there were miracles? It's because people were ready for miracles. You know, that's half of the secret to receiving from God, is to be ready, to be expecting that miracle. And as a matter of fact, Jesus talked about when he went back to his hometown, they rejected him. And the Bible says, and he was not able to do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. All right? Your unbelief will destroy the power of God in your life. And so, when we go out and we have, well, we don't do as many big crusades. We used to do huge crusades, week-long crusades and whatever, over in Asia, India, and wherever. And they would have these big posters. And I should have brought one today. I'm sorry, I messed up. And so we're sitting in the train station, and there was a poster that had Terry's and my picture on it, you know, sitting there. And it was all in the Sanskrit type lettering. And I said, well, what does that say? And they said, you don't want to know. Well, when somebody tells me I don't want to know, then I really want to know, all right? And so that they went and got it, and they said, okay, what it says here is that the mighty healers from America have come to bring healing to all. And I said, mighty healers from America? There's going to be somebody else there with us? I mean, what's going on? You know? And they said, no, what we do is you create that atmosphere of expectation. And God can use that expectation to quicken your faith. All right? But if you don't have any expectation, then what happened to the people from Nazareth? Excuse me. Jesus didn't do mighty things there because of their unbelief. All right? And so there was that attitude. And when Jesus would walk into that attitude of expectation, people were raised from the dead. People were raised up from their lameness, from their disease. And all of this happened because of their expectation. And so my encouragement for all of us this year is to have an expectation that God's going to do something special this year. And it may be big, and it may be small, but whatever it is, it'll be necessary. It'll be important. It may not seem all that much to us, but what God does is important. Amen. There are no insignificant children of God. We are all significant in God's sight. And when God does act, there is no insignificant acts of God. He does something because it's necessary for it to happen. And so this year, what I'd like us to do is to keep our eyes open for the move of God in our families, in our church services, just in our lives, and then be praying, God, I'm just here this year in 2024 to let my light shine. You've given me salvation, a little light that's shining in the darkness. Let that little light shine up and down this hallway, throughout the building number 5 or whatever, or throughout this whole place. Wherever I go, when I go down to get the mail or get breakfast in the morning, let your light shine in me so that they see this and they will glorify the Father. They'll want what I already have. Well, that kind of necessitates a little attitude change on our part. You are the light of God. You are the light of God. If you're not, who is? And that's why the Word of God says, you let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and they glorify the Father. And so we must be on our best behavior. Amen? People need to see that we don't deal with the problems of life in the same way that they do, because we are being held in the arms of our Heavenly Father, and we don't have to react to what's going on around us. We let our Holy Spirit, our Holy Father, respond to the things that are going on around us. All right? And so, I mean, we're here for a reason. We've been here for over a decade for a reason. People need to see the peace of God that passes all understanding. They need to see it. And if they don't see it in us, where will they see it? Amen? So let's remember that this year, that we're here as a reflection of the light of God in this world. It's kind of like the moon. The moon doesn't give off its own light, does it? It simply reflects the light of the sun. Blue. Yeah. S-U-N-S-O-N. Pronounced the same. Okay. The moon only reflects the light of the sun. But can you see by the light of the moon? Yeah, you can. You can. And when you have a full moon out there, I mean, it's amazing what you can see when there's a full moon out there, when God's light is being reflected into the area where we are. In the same way, we're not Jesus, but we are the reflection of Jesus. Have you ever called yourself a Christian? When you call yourself a Christian, you are saying, if you know where the word came from, I am a little Christ. I reflect Christ. That's what Christian means, is little Christ. Man, I don't know if I have enough boldness to claim that I'm a little Christ, but that's how God sees us. Amen? And so we'll let that light shine. We'll let people see that, oh, well, look at what's happening here, there, whatever. But look at how this person is responding to it. That's right. We don't react. We respond. People have needs. We respond. Things going on around us that we cannot control, we may not be able to control those things going on around us, but we can control how we respond to those things going on around us. All right? And so, let's leave it there. Father God, thank you for a new year. I suspect that most all of us will see it through 2024. One or two of us may even graduate to glory during 2024. And if that happens, we will celebrate their lives, at least the part of their lives they spent with us. But Lord, here is a new year that you have given us to reflect the sun. S-O-N. And help us to do that. Because our neighbors around us need to know that there is something more than what this old world has to offer. And that is the peace that comes through knowing Jesus. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.